Well, thank you. You may be seated. And it's a joy to be with you and your pastors this weekend. And as Jim said, we have been friends for, well, Jim and Pam have been part of our lives for over 32 years. And we're so thankful for their friendship. And you're blessed to have them as your pastors. As a young believer, I committed Psalm 37:4 to memory, and it said, delight yourself in the Lord, He'll give you the desires of your heart. And having walked with God for many years now, the Lord has done all that. It all started for me, actually, in 1968, and the Lord put a dream in my heart. I came to Austin to spend time with a cousin who was attending the university. He gave me a tour of the campus, he introduced me to life in Austin, and right then and there, a dream was born in my heart. Now, fast forward to 1971, and I began living my dream when I enrolled as a freshman at the University of Texas at Austin. Now, as Jim said, years later, God called me to the mission field in Oklahoma. Here's what I found. God loves Sooners, too. Okay? You know what? God's grace is for every race, every tribe, every kindred, every tongue. Aren't you thankful God's grace is for everyone? But I will tell you, it is good to be back in the promised land today. Now, in June of this year, I retired from 40 years of pastoral ministry, and my wife and I began a new journey. And here's one thing I'm learning. God always has a new adventure for you. And as we have contemplated our next step in this journey the last 5 months, I felt the Lord speaking to me about doors. And I simply want to share with you some things I've been learning, some things I've been contemplating and thinking about the past 5 months in hopes it will inspire you. And I've always believed the best messages come out of your own life and what the Lord is showing and teaching you. But here's one of the things I came to realize about doors. That word is used a lot in the Bible. In fact, it's used almost 400 times. Doors are metaphors. They're metaphors for a lot of important things in your life. And as you walk with God, you'll find He'll open some doors. He will shut other doors. And so we're going to talk about the spiritual significance of that today. But first, let me begin pointing out that doors have an important role to play in your life every day. You ever thought about how many doors you have in your home? You know, I'm assuming you have a front door. You know, if you don't have a front door, how are you going to get in? You know, raise your hand if you've got a sliding door in your home. Got one of those? What about a pocket door? Anybody have a basement door? You know, a lot of people have basement doors depending on what part of the country you live in. And I would highly recommend that everybody have a bathroom door. And then there are shower doors, there's closet doors, there's bedroom doors, you've got glass doors, you've got metal doors. Now, if you've got a trap door, I will not come to your home today, okay? That's not going to happen. Doors are important, and they have spiritual significance. I don't know if you ever thought about this, but a door can be an exit or it can be an entrance. A door can be a bridge to something great or it can be a barrier. A door can say you're welcome here, or that door can say you're not welcome. Doors keep warm air in and cold air out. A door can protect you. A door can provide access. So there's so many implications to how doors are used in our lives. And again, they have spiritual significance. In the Bible, a door can represent the entrance door to salvation or the passage to discipleship, to service, to mission. It could be the access door of prayer, or it could be the holy door of worship. The Bible itself can be a door. Through that door, I learn what God is like, how to relate to Him, and how to live a victorious life. Now, the verse I want to start with comes from Revelation 3, verse 7. It comes from the very last book of the Bible. Jesus starts the book of Revelation by presenting messages to seven actual churches that were in existence at that time. And one of those churches was the Church of Philadelphia. And this is what Jesus says to that church, and I believe it's a word for this church today. I hold the key of David in my hand. The doors that I unlock and open, no one else can close. And any doors I shut and lock, no one will be able to open. Now I know everything you've done. So look, I'm placing before you an open door that no one can shut. Now I know you're not strong, but you've kept my word and you've been faithful to me. Now that was a door of opportunity. And the Lord was basically saying, I know you don't have it all together. You're not that strong spiritually, but at least you stayed with me. You are here. You're still showing up. You haven't denied my name. So I'm going to open an incredible door for you, and it's the opportunity of a lifetime. Now, here's what I want to accomplish in this message. My goal is to pass on to you some things you need to know about the doors in your life. And I will first tell you that every door is a decision. Remember, in the Bible, doors are metaphors for the choices we make in our lives every day. Your choices will determine your future, not your circumstances, but your choices will determine your future more than anything else. So every door you come to, you have a decision to make. Am I going to walk through it or will I ignore it? And you learn early in life that some doors you shouldn't walk through. There are doors you can't walk through, and there's some doors that aren't worth walking through. But every time you come to the door, it's a decision. So choose wisely. Second, your destiny will be shaped by your responses to that door. Now, I've already touched on that. But again, your future will be shaped more by your choices than anything else. And that's why I said every door is a decision. Now, the tough part is knowing what door to walk through. And there is a cost for every door you walk through. It'll cost you time, money, and energy. How many have ever walked through a door that you thought was so right, only to find out it was so wrong? Now, you know, here's one thing I learned. When you walk through the wrong door, it's not always easy to get back on the right path. It's not like you can say, whoops, I made a wrong decision. I'm going to take all that back. It's not that easy because decisions produce consequences. And so that means there are some doors you shouldn't walk through. Now, if you do it, you can get back on track. I'm just saying there's a little work to do. But you don't want to waste your time or your money or your energy on the wrong doors. And that's why you need to make the best decision possible. And that's why we need something the Bible calls discernment. The more discerning you are, the better decisions you're going to make in life. I love what God said to his people in Deuteronomy 30, verse 15. This is what God said through Moses, the people of Israel. Today, I'm giving you a choice. You can choose life and success, or you can choose death and disaster. Now here's the problem. Sometimes you can't see what's behind that door. Now, this is really going to date me, but do any of you remember an old TV program with Monty Hall called Let's Make a Deal? You know, Hall would say, here's door number one, door number two, door number three. Behind one of those doors is a brand new car. And maybe there's a candy bar between the other two. Now, I'm telling you, there's a difference between a brand new car and a candy bar. Now, so you want to make a right decision, amen? So how do you handle those decisions? Discernment. We need discernment. And I'll talk more about that in a minute, but I'm going to add something here. Discernment is so important in relationships. Having served as a pastor for 40 years, I met so many people, good people, but yet they consistently made bad decisions in their relationships. And you may not know it, but it's the truth. Studies have shown us that your relationships are more important to your spiritual growth than anything else. When people get off track spiritually, I could almost always trace it back to a wrong relationship. Yet when you're in a right relationship with other growing Christians, you can help each other. You know, the Bible says that iron sharpens iron, so a man's friend sharpens him. The Bible says there is safety in the multitude of counselors. I was thinking about this, and I know it's the truth. I probably have not made a major decision in my life the past 28 years without talking to your pastor. I honestly can't think of any major decision I made without running it by him, and even other people. It is so important to have some trusted friends you can run your decisions by before finalizing them. Why? I want to choose the right door. I'm trying to get all the discernment, all the counsel I can, because I know that decision is going to impact my life. Now, here's the third thing you should know about doors. A door can represent different things. It can represent more than just one thing, and you need to know this. For one, it could be an opportunity from God, and that's the door you want to go through. Now, I want you to hear me on this. The Christian church is at a crossroads. This nation is at a crossroads. And as a people of God, we are not to be part of the problem, but part of the solution. And God wants us to understand our purpose, and it is to represent His kingdom. And we are to make a difference. And there are opportunities before you to serve, to witness, and expand God's kingdom right here in Austin. Just as the Lord told the church at Philadelphia, He was setting before them an open door. I believe this is God's word for you. There is an opportunity before this church that would blow your mind. If you walk through the right doors in the right way at the right time, you're going to be amazed at what God would do. And a good example of a door being operated from God is in 1 Corinthians 16:9. And Paul writes, a huge door of opportunity for good work has opened up here for me. So this big door is open for Paul. But I also want you to notice he said, and there is much opposition. Just because God opens a door doesn't mean it's necessarily going to be smooth sailing. I found when God opens the door for me and I walk through it, it has always stretched my faith. And God will use what you're going through to grow you up and develop your character. There's a few times I walked through a door and I felt like I was hit with a buzzsaw. And sometimes you're tempted to say, no, wait a minute. I thought this was a door God wanted me to walk through. He did, but it's not going to be problem-free. Here's the issue. The devil doesn't want you going through that door. Because you go through the door, you're going to make a difference. So naturally, there's opposition. But here's what I found. If I will stay focused on doing what God has called me to do, if I will stay focused on obeying Him, God takes care of the opposition. We resist the devil, he flees from us. Now remember I said doors can represent different things. So it can definitely be an opportunity from God. But two, some doors can be a distraction from other people or the enemy. Here's a door. It looks like a good opportunity. You go through it, and it turns out to be a dead end. That's why we need discernment. Not every door is from God. Some are distractions presented by the enemy or the other people to get us off track. God's got a wonderful plan for each one of us. You know that. But just in case you don't know this, other people sometimes have plans for you too. They do. Sometimes other people have plans for you, and they're not always for your good. They may offer you all kinds of opportunities that sound good, but they end up wasting your time, your energy, your money. So when you have an open door, don't automatically run through it. Take a deep breath, wait on the Holy Spirit, listen intently, determine if this fits God's plan and purpose for your life. Is it what God's called you to do? Is it from God? Or is it a distraction? A good example from the Bible of a distraction comes from the book of Nehemiah. Now, the Jewish people had been taken captive by the Babylonians, and they're living out their lives in a foreign land. Many years pass, and the Persians overcame the Babylonians. And a young man named Nehemiah finds himself serving Artaxerxes, who's the great Persian king. Now, one day, Nehemiah is extremely depressed, because news has reached him that his hometown Jerusalem lies in ruin. And his heart is broken over the fact that his country is decimated, it is devastated, it is destroyed. And of course, the protective wall around the city has been destroyed, the people have no protection. Well, all this is on Nehemiah's heart. And all probability, he was praying about all this. There are a lot of bad situations in our country. But I would suggest instead of whining and complaining that we lift up our voices to God of heaven. And here's why. He wants us to be a part of the solution. And He may just open a door for you to bring His love and His light in some dark situations. Now, while the Scripture is not clear on this, it does appear from everything I've read and the way the story unfolded, Nehemiah had on his heart to rebuild Jerusalem. And here's why I would say that. When the door opened for him to do that, he was ready. He had a plan. See, one day the king notices that Nehemiah's looking a little gloomy. And he said, "Now, what's going on with you, Nehemiah? Why are you so sad?" And Nehemiah responds, he said, "It's because my hometown, Jerusalem, lies in ruins and the people have no protection." Now, this king could have just blown him off. But he says, "Nehemiah, is there anything I can do for you?" Boom! A big door just opened. That is a door of opportunity. Now, we're going to get to the door of distraction in a minute. But there was a door of opportunity. A pagan king, who is the leader of the largest empire in the world, just offered to do something for him. And get this, Nehemiah was prepared. He said, "I'd like to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the city." And then the king asked, "How long will it take and how much money will you need?" Now, Nehemiah had all planned in his head, and when the door opened, he was ready to go through it. He was able to give the king an answer. This was a God-ordained opportunity, and this pagan king allows him to go back, and he pays for the building program. Not only will God open doors for you, but then he'll provide everything you need to be successful beyond the open door. And God has resources that we're not even aware of. And there are times God brings in those resources from the most unlikely places. But here's what's important to understand. Sometimes you're waiting on God to open a new door in your life. It could be job related. It could have to do with a relationship. What do you do when you're waiting on God to open a door? Plan and prepare. And that way when the door opens, you know what to do. You're ready. If someone came up to you today and said, "I want to help you accomplish your God-given dreams. What do you need?" Could you give them a plan? You know, if you can't, you've got some work to do. And perhaps you need to think about setting aside some time to seek the Lord in prayer and fasting before the end of the year, listen for His voice, and then under the direction of the Holy Spirit, write out a plan, what you would like to accomplish the next 3, 5, or 10 years. But while you're waiting on God, don't sit around and do nothing. Pray. Plan, prepare, so you'll be ready when the door opens. And when the door opened, Nehemiah walked through it. The king lets him go back to Israel, and he starts rebuilding the wall. Now, as embrace that opportunity, this is where the distractions came. Not everybody was thrilled about it. Not everybody's going to be thrilled when you do the will of God. Do you understand that? There were many that did not want the city rebuilt. There were enemies. And they did everything in their power to discourage him. They started off by criticizing him. When that didn't work, the criticism turned to ridicule. They started making fun of him and everybody working with him. Well, that doesn't slow him down. That didn't slow his team down. When that didn't work, they tried to delay the project. And they presented an open door. They said, "Why don't you stop this project for a while? And let's talk about it. Come down off the wall. Let's have some discussion and see if we can't develop a consensus here where everyone is going to be happy." Well, I know very few situations where everyone is happy. This was a major distraction. Look good. To build a consensus where everybody would be happy. Major distraction. And then here's what Nehemiah says in Nehemiah 6, verse 3. He says, "I'm doing an important work right now. Why should I stop the work while I come down to see you?" He realized this was a distraction. It was a delay. And he says, "What I'm doing is the will of God, and I don't think we need to discuss or debate the will of God." And he goes on with the project. But finally, when nothing could stop him, and nothing could stop the work, they said, "We're going to kill you." Now, that would be a major distraction, wouldn't it? But even then, that didn't stop Nehemiah. Remember what I said earlier? As you obey and you stay focused on what God's called you to do, He takes care of the opposition. So doors can represent different things. It can be an opportunity from God. It can be a distraction from others. Or third, it could be a trap from the enemy. You do have an enemy, who doesn't want you to understand your purpose, and he doesn't want you to make a difference with your life. So you got to be able to discern if a door is from God, a distraction from others, or is it a trap from the enemy. And we're talking about what you need to know about doors. Now here's my fourth point. An open door from God will never contradict his word. God will never lead you to do something that contradicts the Bible. And throughout the Bible, God says, don't do this, don't do that, but do this and do that. If a door contradicts the word, it's not from him. Years ago, my wife and I, before we took the assignment at the last church we served, we were part of a counseling team at a large church in Tulsa. I'll never forget, one day a man told our pastor, I'm not happy in our marriage, and just recently I met this new woman, and she brings me such joy. And realizing God wants me to be happy, I'm divorcing my wife and marrying this other woman. True story, true story. But I want you to hear me on this. The other woman was not an opportunity from God. Not an opportunity. It was a trap for his destruction. Because Proverbs 6:32, it says, whoever commits adultery is a fool. You know, the man was deceived. He didn't have a clue how much pain he was about to release into his own life and his family. So God's not going to open a door for you to do something he forbids. When God says no to something, you know what? It's not to deprive you of pleasure. It's to protect you. Amen? God is into life and leading us into life abundantly. So what if you do, if you're in a marriage you don't feel good about? Well, here's the truth. The grass is not greener on the other side. The grass is greener where you care for it and you water it. You know, and often people need to spend more time cultivating their relationships instead of complaining about them. And I will add this, you can't change your spouse, but you can change yourself. And here's the good news. When you change yourself and you start responding in healthy Christ-like ways, you know what it does? It forces the other person to make a decision. They can no longer relate to you in the old way. See, the old patterns don't work anymore because you're acting in a different way. And instead of retaliating, now you're kind. Instead of blowing up, now you're loving. And it really does require them to make a decision because, again, the old patterns don't work. And maybe you're saying, but I don't feel loving in this relationship. Well, that doesn't have a lot to do with it. We should always focus on doing the right thing and pleasing God in spite of how we feel. We're people of faith, and we don't walk by sight or our feelings. And when we choose to act in faith, God honors that. So if I'll act in loving ways in faith, God will actually help me feel loving. But when you act loving, you'll eventually feel loving. Feelings always follow actions. But just remember that God will not open doors contrary to his word. And in Matthew 24:35, this is what Jesus said. He said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. That was true thousands of years ago, and it's true today. If something was wrong thousands of years ago, it's wrong today. Yes. Now, fifth, sometimes God shuts a door for our protection. You know, sometimes we think something going sideways is bad. In God's economy, it may not be bad at all. Now, here's what I found. Nothing is bad or good till God gets through with it. And things going sideways or a door shutting could be your protection. In Genesis 6:17, this is what we read. Then God shut the door. Now, that's in reference to Noah and the ark. Once they're on the ark, once Noah had done everything God told him to do, once all the animals, his family was on board, God shut the door. Why? To protect them from the storm raging on the outside. And the truth is, God often shuts doors for our protection. Now, I will say, when God shuts the door, it doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel good. And this is where we've got to trust the heart of God, that he truly has our best interest at heart, and he sees something that we don't. I remember over 25 years ago, a young man in the congregation that we served lost his job. He was young, married, just starting his family. And he came to me, and the day he came to see, he was so discouraged, and he got a different response from me than he expected. But as I listened to him, it was just a spirit thing. I received witness in my spirit that God had done this, that God had shut the door for his benefit. And he thought I was going to pet him and pat him on the back and have all this compassion. And I just said, man, you need to praise God. I said, this is the best thing that's ever happened to you. You have been comfortable where you are. You haven't been willing to move. And this is God's way of moving you into something better. And he kind of looked at me like, I really want a little love, a little compassion, a little tenderness in his ear. But you know what? It was a word of encouragement from the Lord, because sure enough, it put him on a path to something better. And get this, better pay and a greater blessing that was going to benefit his family for years to come. And it's interesting, he still talks about the day that he learned that God shuts doors for our protection to move us into something better. Now, maybe someone here is single. You know, maybe there's someone here that needs to hear this, but just because, or maybe you've fallen in love with someone that's not good for you, and they often hurt you, they're inconsistent, they're unreliable, and maybe they walked out of your life. Did you ever think that might be God's love and mercy in removing them from your life? And if that's the case, don't run after them. God shut that door. And it's about your protection for something better. And then 6, I love this point because it's so true. God will open doors for you if you learn to open doors for others. You know, this is the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. God wants you to be a giver like him. He wants you to be generous with others. I love Proverbs 11:25. Look at what this says. It says, anyone who generously blesses others will be blessed. Generously blessed. And when you refresh others, you'll be refreshed yourself. Did you know there's more promises in the Bible about generosity than any other subject? And I'm not talking about just giving money. I'm talking about being generous all the time with people. Generous with your money, your time, your praise, your energy, your love. But God promises to bless you for your generosity. And the more generous you are with others, the more generous God's going to be with you. God is a giver. God so loved the world that he gave. Giving is evidence of love. And this principle of generosity applies to this thing about doors. If you open doors for other people, God will open doors for you. And in studying this thing about doors, I came across an interesting scripture in the book of Job. And I had never noticed it before, but Job said at one point, I have never turned anybody away, but I've opened my doors to everyone. Job was talking about being hospitable and opening up his home to others. But Job had this open door policy of blessing people and helping people. That's the kind of guy he was. Now, there was a time he was the wealthiest man in the world. You know his story. He lost it all, and then he later regained it. But here's the thing about Job. Job was the same man in the good times and in the bad. Generosity was part of his nature and his character. And here's the principle I want you to take home. If you are good to others, God will be good to you. I know my life has been blessed because people opened doors for me, especially when I was younger. And through the years, I have made an effort to open doors for others. But when you help people achieve their God-given dreams, you know what God will do? God will make sure your dreams are reached and achieved. And then 7th and last, this is my last point. Sometimes God gives you a glimpse of what's beyond the open door before you're ready to go through it. Why does he do that? Well, for one, it keeps you close to him and dependent upon him. As Pam and I have walked out God's plan, God never gave us the details of the plan in advance. Have you noticed that? Instead, he would show us one step. I mean, step number one. Then we would take it, and then sometimes step two would show up pretty quick, or sometimes it was the waiting game all over again. But when I'm dependent on God to give me the next step, see, it keeps me close to Him. It keeps me on my face. It keeps me seeking God. But perhaps the biggest reason God gives us a glimpse of what's beyond the door is to inspire us to grow. See, God cracks the door open, and you're like, wow, look what God's prepared for me. He gives you this dream. He gives you a vision. He gives you a little glimpse of the future. However, He knows you're not ready, and you know you're not ready. Some of you have no idea the success and the blessing God wants to send your way. Do you receive it? Amen. But you know, right now, you know, I can speak for myself. There have been times in my life I was too selfish. I couldn't handle what was beyond that open door. And here's what I know for sure. God wants all of us to grow beyond where we are right now. Amen? We're to go to faith. We can go to higher levels, but He wants us to grow beyond where we are now. So we start praying, we start planning, we start growing and learning to open the doors for others. But understand, God's got a destiny for you. He wants you to make a difference. And by the way, no one can destroy your destiny except you. God won't. The devil can't. His powers are limited. Other people can't either. No matter what others may do, if you will walk in obedience, doing what God's called you to do, He will defeat the opposition. But the only person who can stop it is you by wrong choices. God gives you the opportunity to fulfill His plan, but will not force it on you. You can go through the right doors at the right time in the right way, or you can walk away from them. That choice is yours. Now, I will tell you, if you get sidetracked and you mess up, God in His love and mercy will say, hey, come back to me, and we'll get started again. Aren't you thankful for His mercy? Amen. You know, I know I need to move to its conclusion, but I want to read one more verse of Scripture to you. From Habakkuk 2, verse 3. And God says, and I believe this is a word for this body, the things that I'm planning for you won't all happen right away, but slowly, steadily, and surely the time approaches when the vision will be fulfilled. If it seems slow, do not despair, for these things will surely come to pass. Just be patient. They will not be overdue a single day. Now that says a lot to me. You know, for one, God's got a plan. So you grow and you do your part. And then two, notice that God has a precise time to open the door and for you to walk through it. God's timing will be perfect. And right now, He's preparing you and all the situations around you that pertain to that plan. And God's getting everything lined up. And remember the Scripture I read from Revelation 3 at the beginning of the message? Jesus said, the door that I unlock and open, no man can shut. Doors are before you. There are opportunities up ahead for you to make a difference. Discern carefully which door you should walk through. And I will tell you, to spending time in prayer and in the Word and in fellowship with other growing Christians, that can help you tremendously to grow in discernment and wisdom. And then once you determine the right door, have the courage to go through it, even when you don't have it all figured out. You know, I want to pray for you today, but perhaps there's someone here and Jesus is standing at the door of your heart. There is a door we haven't talked about, and that is you have a door that you control. And Jesus Himself said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If you open the door, I'll come in, and you will dine with me, and I will dine with you. In other words, Jesus was saying, when you open the door of your life to me, I'm going to come in, and you can have an intimate relationship with me from that day forward. And here's what's really good about it. You open that one door to Jesus, the door of your life, and then He'll open doors for you the rest of your life. Just for a moment, I'd like every head bowed, every eye closed. And if there's someone here And you're saying, you know what? I do sense Jesus is knocking at the door of my heart. I've never made a full, complete surrender to Him. All I want you to do is just put your hand up. You can put it back down. I just want to be able to pray with you. And then I want to pray for everyone else. Thank you for that decision. Anyone else that you sense Jesus, thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? And I want to pray for everyone as well, that we'll have the discernment to go through the right doors. But would everyone just pray this prayer after me? Lord Jesus, I hear your voice. You're knocking at the door of my heart. And I'm opening that door wide to you. I realize you are Savior and you are Lord. And I want you to come into my life. And I thank you that you have forgiven my sins and made me a new creation. And a new day is before me. Thank you. I've opened this door. And I'm looking to you to open all the right doors for me today and all my tomorrows. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. 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 Thank you. God bless you.